How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. We're available on iTunes. Pretty much anywhere that you can hear audio, you can hear this program. Saturday morning, we talked a lot about John Jones and his cocaine test failure in UFC. Also talked a lot about TNA on Destination America. We are going to be replaying that show in hour two if you missed it. But here in the first hour today, we've got a lot to talk about, including a big preview of the Royal Rumble. We barely talked about WWE at all yesterday, and so we need to talk about that here today. It is WrestleMania season, and the Royal Rumble pay-per-view is coming up. On Raw this past Monday, they made the announcement that Seth Rollins is being added to the John Cena versus Brock Lesnar match at the Royal Rumble, and obviously that raises a lot of interesting questions. What are they doing in that match? Is Brock Lesnar going to walk out as the WWE champion, as had been the plan for a while, to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, or are they going to mix things up, maybe put the title on Seth Rollins, maybe put the title on John Cena? There are a lot of options for that particular match. There is also, of course, the Royal Rumble match. Seth Rollins and John Cena and Brock Lesnar will be fighting for the title. Somebody is going to be leaving that match as the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. Is it going to be Roman Reigns, or are they going to throw in a swerve? We're going to be talking about all of that with Mike Sempervivi here in this hour. No phone calls here today. Mike is going to be on the telephone line. We had some connection difficulties here today, but it should still be a great show. So stand by and get ready to go today with all of the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike was up until 5 o'clock in the morning doing a Scene Limite with Dave Meltzer last night, which is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Is it true, Mike, that you went for 4 hours last night?
4 hours indeed. It was actually 6:30 in the morning Eastern time by the time we ended up getting everything done. But for members, a two-part, four-hour show literally talking about everything that's ever taken place on a canvas mat or even on a roller derby track.
I heard you guys talked about roller derby. How come whenever you're talking about anything, it always segues into roller derby?
Well, yeah, we had the start of it last night because of the death of Anis Big Red Jensen. And Dave, obviously, can talk a lot more about that than I can. And we certainly talked about it last night. But in the Bay Area, with the popularity of roller derby after all of those years, her death yesterday or a couple days ago got a lot of mentions in the media up there. And, passed away at 92 years old. And you know, even though it's really a sport from the days gone by, although people have tried to redo things, and there was that movie with Ellen Page a couple years ago, it's really still it's a relative of professional wrestling. It really is, with the interviews and the work and the whole nine yards. And Dave's got a pretty good story that has to do with Ann Carvello, one of the most famous roller derby participants of all time, and her past boyfriend, Ray the Crippler Stevens. So it's probably better that TMZ was not around at the time where they were together.
What are we talking about here in terms of scandal?
I don't know if it's as much scandal as it is. They certainly just seem to be the most fun of the fun couples that you could possibly think of as far as having a good time.
Interesting. So that is in the Scene Limite. What else did you guys talk about last night on the show?
Obviously, talked about the Jones stuff from this week. A lot of stuff about Japan, a lot of history of Japan, especially in the second part where we take all the listener questions. We talked the history of the Indianapolis territory and the the spreading of the talent from that area, from the years of Johnny Doyle and Jim Barnett in the way back in the 50s, and how that spawned guys like, well, Ray Stevens and Roy Shire and Joe Blanchard and a lot of the people that came out of there. And it really was a little bit of everything. Mike Tyson, Bob Sapp, and Ernesto Houston, K1, just a lot of wacky things. Not only just wrestling, but a little bit of boxing, MMA, and obviously roller derby as well.
Well, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble today. If anybody wants to hear that, that's available at WrestlingObserver.com. 4 hours last night, if you happen to not be watching football here today. And for all of you asking, yes, I did see the Seahawks win their game last night. I am here at Cannon Beach. The family's all here. They're all football fans, and so it was impossible to miss. And I hear, Mike, one more win, and we'll be in the Super Bowl. Is that right?
Yes. Green Bay and Dallas, I haven't had a chance to see who won that game today, but the winner of that game goes on and faces Seattle in the NFC title game. The winner of that, and that game will take place in Seattle, the winner of that will go on to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God, and it's in Seattle?
Yes, the NFC title game is in Seattle, so remember next week, we will have to remember to kind of batten down all the hatches and all that stuff over there, because there could be fireworks aplenty, literally, shooting over your house in celebration or in, discouragement and everyone being upset.
I do remember that last year, I don't know if it, I think it was the, it's probably the same game, actually. I was here, and I was doing a show, if I recall correctly, during the actual game. Might have even been, I can't remember when the game aired, but I know that I was doing a show. And I remember, I thought that we were being attacked. I thought that there was some sort of war going on, because outside my window, all I could hear were people screaming and shrieking. And I don't live like in the middle of Seattle. I live in the suburbs, and I live in a small neighborhood. And man, it just sounded like there was an invasion going on. And turned out it was just Seattle winning the right to go to the Super Bowl. It was quite the experience last year, so I can only imagine what we'll be getting this year around, I guess it's next week, is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, it'll probably be around the time we're doing the show. How that usually works is they start that game, the NFC title game, at 4 or 4:30. So by the time we wrap up everything next week, we're going to know if there's going to be happy people in Seattle or very angry ones.
Oh, my God. Well, you can all look forward to that. It's our annual Are the Seahawks Going to the Super Bowl show next week here on Sports Byline USA. All right, let's talk about the Royal Rumble that is coming up in a couple of weeks now. Near the end of January, and obviously the big stories coming out of the Royal Rumble are going to be who won the three-way, and it is now a three-way for the WWE World Heavyweight title. It's Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and Seth Rollins. And who is going to win the 30-man Royal Rumble to win a shot at the WWE title at WrestleMania? A lot of things to talk about here, Mike. First off, in the old days, if you won the Royal Rumble, you automatically got a shot at the title at WrestleMania. In years past, both the champion and the challenger put their slots on the line at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. The champion went into the chamber. Maybe the champion lost. Maybe he didn't. Sometimes the winner of the Royal Rumble would have their shot on the line. In general, largely, the guy that won the Rumble did end up going on to WrestleMania and fighting for the title. But this year, the Elimination Chamber is gone. They are moving that pay-per-view to later on in the year, and the Elimination Chamber is now the Fast Lane pay-per-view. And I suppose it's possible that the title will be defended there. I suppose it's possible that the winner of the Royal Rumble will put their shot on the line. But my guess is, because of the way they've changed the pay-per-view schedule, at the end of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which is coming up at the end of the month, January 25th to be exact, we will know who will be in the main event of WrestleMania. And to jump, I guess to cut to the chase, Mike, who do you believe is going to main event WrestleMania for the title this year?
Boy, you know, I'll go as far as with the title, I'll go with the idea of Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins.
Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and here's why. I like the idea of Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. I think there's a lot you can do between Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble in Philadelphia and going on and facing Brock Lesnar. The problem with that is, you know, there's a lot of issues, including if you don't want to take the belt right off of the champion after WrestleMania, then when is Seth Rollins going to cash in his briefcase? I can't see him cashing it in and losing, so I can see him cashing it in and winning, and if that's going to happen, I would see that happening after the Royal Rumble, you know, either during that match or, you know, on Raw or something like that, where he ends up winning the belt and goes on to face Daniel Bryan. I still like that idea a lot more than Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, with Brock Lesnar leaving WWE basically after WrestleMania. I just think you can still do a match between those two, but to make it the main event of WrestleMania, I would go, to me, I go with Daniel Bryan for the second year in a row, because to me it's not the same story. It's a completely different story in that he's coming back. He hasn't lost his belt. He's a Paul Heyman type of guy that Paul can beat on and say, look, you're too banged up. You've had a horrible year. You know, why do you want to do this to yourself by facing Brock? And he overcomes all of the odds and destroys the big bully who happens to be tied in with the authority that took the belt away from him in the first place. I think that would be a great way to go. And but if that doesn't happen, he and Seth Rollins, to me, would have the best match possible. And I think it's a, again, it would be a good way to have a WrestleMania main event with the quality being there and people being happy at the end of it.
Obviously, that leads to the, I guess, the job of getting the title on Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins does have the Money in the Bank briefcase, but he has also been inserted into the match with John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And I do, in fact, have a theory as to why they have inserted him into the match. And we are going to talk about that and more Royal Rumble news when we come back from the break. Plus, talk the Royal Rumble match itself. Is Roman Reigns going to win? Who is going to eliminate him if Daniel Bryan wins? How can they arrange this to get to Mike's suggested Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania? That's all coming up after the break, everybody. So stick around. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Saturday and Sunday. We're talking the Royal Rumble here. And Mike Sempervivi has suggested a WrestleMania main event of Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan. And we're talking about the Royal Rumble and how you can set that match up with the matches they have already announced for the show. Before the break, I was talking about the three-way that they now have for the WWE World Heavyweight title. They've inserted Seth Rollins into that match. And the question is, why have they inserted Seth Rollins into that match? He is the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. And if they want to put the title on him, he could just cash in at any time. I have a theory here, Mike. And that is that, first off, Seth Rollins has been doing a lot of jobs lately. And usually, and don't even ask me why, because it doesn't make any sense to me, but this is what they do. Normally, when a guy does a lot of jobs, that means he's about to get the title. Now, how this makes any sense, it's a mystery, but this is just what they do. So, it stands to reason that Seth Rollins is going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion soon. Now, what you could do, obviously, is do this Brock Lesnar versus John Cena match. It doesn't matter who wins the match. When the match is over, both guys are down and destroyed, and Seth Rollins cashes in the briefcase. I think that most fans, if they really thought about it, could come up with that very scenario. And I think a lot of them have. So my theory is that they put Seth Rollins in the match to distract you from the fact that he is, in fact, going to still cash in the briefcase. I think the obvious finish to the match is that John Cena manages to pin Seth Rollins, maybe after Brock gives, it's a classic three-way finish. Brock gives Seth Rollins an F5, John Cena tosses Brock Lesnar outside or gives him the AA or whatever, and then John Cena covers Seth Rollins and John Cena becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Brock is so mad that John Cena stole the pin and stole his title without pinning him, that Brock completely destroys John Cena and then leaves, at which point Seth Rollins cashes in his briefcase and pins John Cena. So essentially what you have is Brock Lesnar never got pinned. Seth Rollins did get pinned by John Cena, but he also won the title afterwards, so that's what he gets out of it. John Cena won the title, but then lost the title because of somebody else outside of the match, that being Brock Lesnar, because the match will have been over. And everything fits into place like a perfect little puzzle. So if Brock does end up re-signing with the company, there is an obvious babyface turn and quest for the title against Seth Rollins down the road in a singles match. And you've got the title on Seth Rollins and the briefcase is out of the way. Everything works perfectly in this scenario, which frightens me a little bit because sometimes when things work perfectly, they don't end up doing those things. But I think that is the easiest way to get the title on Seth Rollins, and in the way that they do their even Steven booking, everybody gets something and everyone has something taken away from them.
Absolutely. And in fact, I'll even add to that a little bit more in that I can see them going into that match. Obviously, we saw the little bit of a mini alliance, although Brock Lesnar would kind of stood back on Monday night, that obviously Seth Rollins and he and J&J Security and everybody will be working together at the Royal Rumble, kind of leading up, and John Cena's taking just an incredible amount of punishment all throughout the match, and there is some sort of accident which causes Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins to actually have some sort of face-off and have some sort of confrontation and build some drama into Seth Rollins, that they're not just there to basically be in a two-on-one situation against Cena, and your scenario happens. That's absolutely perfect. And then what happens, you know, like you said, goes on. Rollins goes ahead, gets the pin. Everybody gets a little bit of something out of the deal. And if Brock Lesnar resigns and you're going to do that babyface turn, you do have his trepidation about dealing with the authority and Paul Heyman's handshake with Seth Rollins. And we could see Seth Rollins maybe end up with Paul Heyman while Brock Lesnar's gone, which would make even more sense if Brock comes back as a babyface.
This obviously leads to the question of the Royal Rumble itself, and Roman Reigns, for a long time now, has been the chosen one. And Vince's plan has been, obviously, for him to go to WrestleMania, win the WWE World Heavyweight title in the main event. That would be his coronation as the new John Cena. And obviously, if we go by your scenario, that means that Daniel Bryan has got to win the Royal Rumble and somebody has to toss out Roman Reigns. Now, this show is taking place in Philadelphia, and it's pretty much guaranteed that Roman Reigns, I don't want to say it's guaranteed that he's going to be booed, but my strong suggestion would be that Daniel Bryan is going to be a significantly more over babyface. And if Daniel Bryan gets tossed out of that Royal Rumble there and Roman Reigns goes on to win, I don't think that's going to be the reaction that they're desiring for Roman Reigns. So, there are a few things that you can do here. Number one, you could turn Roman Reigns heel. And if you turn Roman Reigns heel, obviously Seth Rollins at some point has to go babyface if you're going to do Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. You could turn the guy heel. Or you have him eliminated and you go on to do some other random match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan wins, and he gets his championship match against Seth Rollins. There is also the match that Daniel Bryan wants and that everybody wants to see, which is Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble and going on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for the title, which would mean that Brock would have to leave the Royal Rumble with the belt. I would love to see Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar, but let's continue on with your scenario that it is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins. How do you book this match, and what do you do with Roman Reigns if he's not going to win?
I think the biggest thing with Roman Reigns at the Rumble is, and this is probably not going to be a popular thing, but here it goes, he breaks his record from last year. I think that's first and foremost. Obviously, he's got his deal with the authority, and he went head up with Seth Rollins on Friday night, or on SmackDown. And I think what you can do is the authority gives him number one. And, you know, he goes through, and that way he's, you know, whenever he does get eliminated, he's exhausted, he's beaten on. But in the time that he's in there, he eliminates more people than he did last year. I know he had the record. I can't remember what it was. But you go ahead and have him do that. and you're kind of teasing the fact that will he come out of this thing as the Royal Rumble winner, but he gets tossed. And I think the issue is who tosses him and how does it happen? Because Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, to continue to go on and do that, is not the worst idea in the world. It really, really isn't. Because you can have, you know, sometime, maybe it's Fastlane, sometime between now and WrestleMania, you have him and Brock Lesnar go at each other. I would have said Rusev, but I think Rusev is a natural for John Cena. Again, the biggest thing, I don't know how you do it and how it's possible to do it, because I don't want Brock Lesnar is not going to be involved in the WrestleMania or in the Royal Rumble match. That's just not going to happen. So it's just a matter of it would probably be the authority being the reason, and I don't know who gets him out, but somebody just needs to get him out of that. And then you have him being upset with the authority. You have a bad mood, Brock Lesnar, who just lost his title, who's all pissed off. And then you can go on and go ahead and do that match. And that leaves Cena for Rusev, which makes the most sense to me. You have Bryan and Rollins. And then you can have, you know, what comes after that, obviously, could be a million and one different things. But those are three of your main matches, and I think that would make the most sense.
Roman Reigns, I think that they would have been able to go ahead with their plan. And it may not have come off the way that they wanted, but I think it would have come off better than the way it's going right now as a result of all of the horrendous promos Roman Reigns has been cutting. I think if
Suffering Succotash.
That's right. If you watched SmackDown, you heard Suffering Succotash. If you watched Raw, you heard him describe himself as Superman, faster than a speeding bullet. All of the goofy things that he said. And Vince McMahon is the guy behind all of these promos. Vince McMahon has got an idea for this guy, and the biggest problem that I have with it, even more than the actual verbiage that the guy has been saying, which sucks, you know how that Steve Austin, Vince McMahon podcast aired on the WWE Network a while ago? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And Vince is there talking about these millennials, which is a term for this new generation. The millennial generation was individuals born around 1980. Individuals born between about probably 1961 and 1980, that was Generation X. And then we have the millennials now. That's what he's talking about when he talks about millennials. And I have read a lot about generations during my lifetime. I'm very interested in it, actually. And one thing that you will learn when you start studying different generations is that one generation is always different from the next. The millennials today, this is why you always hear people saying, ah, these kids today, because they're comparing the new generation to their own generation. The millennials are very different from Generation X. Generation X was very different from the previous generation, the boomers, the baby boomers. And whatever the next generation is, I believe they're calling them the homelanders, they're going to be different from the millennials. The point of all of this is, it is very similar, the differences in each succeeding generation, to the differences historically in the top guy in pro wrestling, in the sense that when you have a guy that's been the top guy for a long time, and a new guy comes along, whoever that might be, whether it's Bruno Sammartino to Bob Backlund to Hulk Hogan to whoever was after Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, and then to Steve Austin, and then The Rock, and then John Cena. The champion, the main guy, the top guy, is always very different from the guy that came before him. There's always a big change in the personality. And to me, Vince is trying so hard to essentially make Roman Reigns a long-haired, dark-haired version of John Cena that the dude is destined to fail in the role. Roman Reigns needs to be exactly the opposite of John Cena. He can still be a babyface, but it has to be a different kind of interview. It has to be a different kind of personality. He has to be completely different from John Cena. And right now, Vince is trying to make him exactly like John Cena. And that, to me, is a recipe for disaster. I'll get your thoughts on this when we come back from the break. We got a lot more to talk about today, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every weekend, Wrestling Observer Weekends, Saturday and Sunday, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. We're available on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And if you hear us every single weekend, and boy, you love this show, and you got to wait 5 days after the Sunday airing, you are missing out. We do shows every single day at WrestlingObserver.com. I make it a goal to try to do 2 shows every day. That's 2 hours of audio on a daily basis. You got one on the way to work. You got one on the way home. You'll always have something new to listen to during your commute, or if you go to the gym. Wherever you listen to your audio, you will always have brand new audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. And if for some reason you're able to listen to more than 2 hours of audio every single day, guess what? Every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005, yes, 10 years, is available in the archives. That's over 6,000 hours of audio, double the amount of programming of the WWE Network available to you. And if you sign up long term, it's only $9.99 a month. $10.99 if you want to go month to month. You can cancel at any time doing a month to month subscription, but we've had a lot of people who have been regular callers to this show, and you hear them every now and then call in and say, you know what, I signed up for the website, and I'm so happy I did so because it's awesome. It is the best wrestling website in the world. Highest quality audio, highest quality writing. You'll never find anything like it anywhere else. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, archives of both newsletters, all of the audio, and as noted at the beginning of the show, a 4-hour scene limite with Mike Sempervivi and Dave Meltzer was just posted last night. If you're not watching football today, there's plenty of audio for you already, and I'm going to be back later on tonight with more. So head over to Wrestling Observer.
Even if you are watching football, just turn it down and turn us up.
That's right. That's right. So head over to WrestlingObserver.com and check it out, everybody. And we're going to get back here to the show. Mike, I was talking before the break about Roman Reigns and the way that Vince McMahon is booking this guy and how I think it's all wrong. And Roman Reigns needs to be completely different from John Cena. Not the same guy, just with long black hair. Your thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's the scripting of those promos, which is, you know, the reason he has that John Cena feel. I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's, again, John Cena, even though he's about the only one who can deal with that kind of scripting that they do, and even when he does it, it's not good. It comes across as cheesy and corny, although there's a level of cheesiness and corniness to John Cena. Roman Reigns didn't need that. You needed a super cool guy. And when he comes out, you know, when he first came out with the Shield, I mean, you had a guy, women obviously, you know, loved him. They still love him now because of his look. But he had this cool factor about him. And they have taken that away. It is slowly eroded, you know, time after time after time. You know, look, I don't know if he's a great orator. I don't. You know, but I know, at least on his own, but I do know what they're writing for him stinks. It's not helping matters out at all. And they're trying to just, again, force-feed him this nonsense and force-feed him down everyone's throats without letting him kind of be himself. He's not a great ring technician. It's too early in his career, and he'll probably never be that anyway. We don't know if he can really talk or not as far as dealing, you know, with big arenas and things like that because they have him so overly scripted. And that's a problem. It's like what you were saying. A 70-year-old writing for 20-year-olds, it's tough. I mean, you can learn a lot from a 70-year-old. You most certainly can. Psychology, things to do, all of that sort of stuff. But should the 70-year-old be the one feeding everything into somebody's ear? No, he shouldn't be. And that's really what's happening with Roman Reigns, and they've lost the cool factor off of Roman Reigns. And it's too bad because they had very few guys that you really want to go and see. And he seemed to be one of them at the beginning. And again, that slowly eroded away and it stinks. And it's really too bad because I don't think anybody out there hates Roman Reigns, but we're going to probably see it at WrestleMania or at the Royal Rumble where Daniel Bryan, that's a big, you know, when you decided to put Daniel Bryan back in the Royal Rumble, forget about the fact it's in Philadelphia, if he would have been in there anywhere, you know, I think it's a mistake, and I think they have really screwed up with Roman Reigns and how he has been presented because he's lost a big portion of the fan base, and there's a lot of people that just don't believe him being the next king of WWE, and that's too bad because they have so few options.
You know what's funny about Roman Reigns is if you ever go, which I know you do, Mike, if you ever go to the toy store or the toy aisle, and I don't have kids, but I've got nephews, and I shop for them every Christmas, so I'm in the toy aisle. And you look at all of the action figures for little boys, and what do they look like, Mike? They're these giant, jacked-up action figures, correct?
Yes, sir.
Roman Reigns is everything that you could possibly want in a top guy. He looks like an action figure. He has a great voice for the role. He is a legit athlete. He's got an athletic pedigree. He looks like a badass. You can believe that he is a badass. You don't necessarily believe that if you threw the guy in UFC, he would beat people, because that's not the kind of style that he works. But he's got that look about him where you think, you know what, if I were in a bar and trouble broke out, you know who I'd want backing me up is Roman Reigns. He has everything that you could want in a top guy, at least merchandise-wise, and if you're the kind of promotion like WWE where you're going to merchandise these guys and you want a larger-than-life superstar, he's the guy. And it's really amazing when you look at what Vince McMahon has done to the guy. Vince McMahon has neutered Roman Reigns. Vince McMahon, the greatest promoter that has ever lived, has somehow found a way to make Roman Reigns uncool. And when you really think about it, it is quite frankly astonishing that you take a guy that has so many upsides for what you want in a wrestling promotion and a wrestler, and you have managed to make him uncool. And that's what they've done, and it's mind-boggling to me.
That's going to be one of the things that people are going to take away from this generation. When you think about Sheamus and how he was portrayed and never really got it back, and there was a guy, again, now he, I know they pushed him to a certain extent and it didn't quite work out, according to plan, but he's a big guy that can go out there and thump. But there's very few options to have a guy face Brock Lesnar. Bad news, Barrett, you can just look at the man's face and go, I don't want to mess with that guy. And you may not think he can beat Brock Lesnar, but if he walked out there and said, hey, guess what? I'm going to go punch Brock Lesnar in the face, you can believe him going out there and doing something. Dolph Ziggler, who's another great example of this? Rusev is okay right now. But there's, how many other guys that they've made uncool or they've made not believable. They've made not stars because they've come up with a reason for whatever that reason is that those people shouldn't be stars. And it's really too bad because they are in such a desperate, desperate need of stars and they don't have any. Bray Wyatt has flatlined. Dean Ambrose is still up in the air, not sure what he's going to do. The only thing they have right now is Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins, God bless him, and I love him, but as far as, the over-the-top WWE superstar character, your Rock, your John Cena, the guy with what WWE considers the look in the whole nine yards, he's not Roman Reigns. And they've just kind of, right across the board, neutered everybody, and it doesn't really make any sense as to why. They always come up with reasons why. Dolph Ziggler may not be the most popular guy back there as far as management goes. They may not like the people he hooks up with. They may not like the fact he does comedy shows or does a lot of different things. My only issue with, but who should know that? Why should the average fan know that? Why should the average fan care? They don't know. So all they see is him kind of go up, he goes back down again. Bad news, Barrett comes back. You have another chance with him after injury. He comes up, wins the IC title. What does he do on SmackDown? He loses to Sin Cara. None of this really makes any sense. I just don't quite understand it. How did Ryback get over initially? It was the winning streak. How did Roman Reigns get over initially? It was waylaying people. How did the Wyatt family get over initially? It was destroying people. How did even Seth Rollins get over? It was the team with the Shield destroying everybody. I don't understand why they get them to a certain point and go, and they find a reason not to do things with them. Or in the case of Roman Reigns, they basically overscript him and put him in situations that he shouldn't be in, so he doesn't look strong, and it doesn't really make any sense to me.
You know, another thing that we mentioned briefly yesterday, but didn't really talk about here today, is the situation with the announcers. If you want to talk about another reason why people aren't getting over, I have one for you. It is the announcing sucks. And the company has made a decision. They are mixing up the announcing teams. And this occurred after Jerry Lawler ended up in the hospital with diverticulitis, which actually was the same thing that ended Brock Lesnar's MMA career to a degree, his initial MMA career. I do kind of expect him to go back to MMA, but Jerry Lawler was gone, and so in his place, they put Booker T. And I actually thought that Booker T is not the greatest announcer in the world, but at least he was paying attention, and at least he was talking about the product, and it was a slight improvement over the previous announced teams. So they have since announced, and now they are mixing up the announced teams. And the Raw announced team is going to be Michael Cole, JBL, and Booker T. And the SmackDown announced team is going to be Michael Cole, Tom Phillips, and Jerry the King Lawler. And it's funny because I got a press release, I believe it was, about how WWE was making a change with the announcers. And I thought, finally, they've figured out this problem with the announcers, and they're going to try and figure out something to solve this problem. And when I saw that the solution to the problem was to take the same guys and mix them up onto two different shows, my mind was boggled. This was the solution that you came up with for your horrible announcing? You just mixed up the six guys onto two different shows? That solves no problems. So here we are exactly where we were before. Terrible announcing, attempting to get these guys over, and failing.
Hey, look, you could stick John Anik and Brian Stand in that situation, and when you have nonsense being pumped into their earpiece, coaching them on what to say and how to say it, you're going to get the same sort of result, and it's unfortunate.
Let me just say something here. I hate to cut you off, Mike, but now I'm getting really agitated here. When you and Dave did Sin Limite last night, did I give you one request for that show? Did I tell you one thing you needed to talk about?
Not a thing.
Not one thing. You guys could do whatever you wanted for that 4 hours, and it was a great show, was it not?
I believe it was, yeah.
Okay, so why in the name of God is Vince McMahon, if he'd a... Last week, everybody, Vince McMahon went in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he rewrote the entire Raw script. Vince McMahon is back there, and he's shouting over the headset and telling all of the announcers what to say. Why doesn't Vince McMahon just write the entire show, and why doesn't he just do commentary? Why even bother having a staff? If you have absolutely no faith in what they do, you tell them what to do all the time, you rewrite what they write, you tell them what to say, why don't you just do it yourself?
Good question. Very good question. Why have those 28 people? And, the ripple effect from last week's New Japan show. Do you know who was in Jim Ross and Matt Stryker's earpiece when it came to a product that they had never seen before live to cover? Nobody.
Nobody.
And they went out there, they treated it sporting, and that the results you got are what you got, and they were great.
All right, everybody, we have to head to a break. I'll let Mike finish up here when we come back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi here, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And before we go, Mike, any final wrap-up thoughts on anything we've been talking about here today?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just see what happens tomorrow night and this continued lead into the Royal Rumble. You know, the one good part about this time of year when it comes to WWE usually is the programming gets a little bit better. Football ends. They feel a little bit looser, at least. And the whole thing starts to just build towards WrestleMania. So we do have that positive there. But again, it's how is Roman Reigns gonna look? I don't know. How is he going to be treated? I don't know. And that's, as we talked about, I don't want to see Roman Reigns fail. I don't want to, jump on him for no reason or anything like that. But it's tough to have faith, again, when you name all those guys and you look at the situations that a lot of these guys are in. It's tough to have faith in them building something that's going to be something that you really want to feel and want to buy and that whole nine yards. But Daniel Bryan being back is never a bad thing at all. It looks like they're setting him up to come back from the debut of SmackDown, which will be now on Fridays.
If you're interested in
Thursdays.
If you're interested in hearing all of the news on John Jones as well as TNA on Destination America and some phone calls, we are going to be replaying Saturday's show in hour two. That means in about 5 minutes. Hour two today is going to feature everything that we talked about on the program yesterday. So if you missed the Saturday morning show, make sure you check out the replay in about 10 minutes here on Sports Byline USA. And if you like it, don't forget every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. And of course, we are here Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Wrestling Observer Weekends, I believe we're calling it. I almost called it WrestleMania Weekend. And by the way, stand by on WrestlingObserver.com, everybody, because we may have a big announcement, a cool announcement about this program coming up very, very soon. So we are going to head out here for now. Make sure you stick around for yesterday's program, replaying in hour two. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, Mike, everybody at Sports Byline, and you, the listener, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.